Everybody, and welcome in to another exciting episode of Bloody Good Horror. My name's Eric, and I'll be your host for this evening, where we will be reviewing what is sure to be Schnarz's number one movie of the year. That is the child ballerina slash vampire slash mob movie, Abigail. John's got the fire burning behind him.
How do you call me out? Like, you don't know where I'm going with this movie.
We were discussing
we're
a pre-show.
We're on pins and needles.
I have absolutely no idea where you're going with it, and I can't wait to find out. What I'm most obsessed with right now is that this fire behind you, you look like Jan in that one episode of The Office, The Dinner Party. You ever seen that one, John?
I think I have.
She's like, I'm the devil. That's where you run me.
Yeah.
And anyway, where's your 15-inch plasma TV?
Joining me tonight from his Swiss chalet, the second home, please welcome John Schnarz to the show.
Hello, Eric.
Some people out here don't know homes, always, John.
The internet's not always as good in the chalet, so we'll see.
The nerve. Last up tonight from Indiana, please welcome Casey, just from his one home.
Hello.
No ladies here tonight, John. You know what that means. Hashtag boys night.
Boys night.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. Boys, you're back in town.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Casey, that was too accurate a rendition. We don't want to tip off the YouTube censors.
Okay? It's true.
It's too good.
It's parody, folks. It's parody.
Fair use. Fair use. All right. Let's do it. We're here. Let's talk about Abigail.
This is it, Jennifer. Your big break in TV. From the prime time.
Main feature.
So real quick, I gotta say before we get into it, I got a trailer before this movie for a movie that I have previously not heard of. I'm gonna completely butcher the name. I didn't Google it. It's a weird name, but it's like The Room Under the House or something like that. Dude, everyone in my theater was like, what? It was like Poughkeepsie Tapes vibes. Like, that's how creepy this trailer was. I was like legitimately creeped out in the theater. Somebody can Google the title and give me the real one.
Better than Skinamarink vibes.
It looks terrifying.
The Room Under the... What do you think it's called?
Oh, that is not the name of the movie at all.
It's definitely not that.
What did I type you guys? What did I tell you guys yesterday? I was watching this.
I don't know. I immediately block these
I'm
things out.
Find it. The Room Down Below.
Yeah.
The Room Down Below. All right. I haven't heard of this.
Look it up. It looks... Of course, and I just... Oh, wait. Yeah, it's on IMDb. Okay.
The Room Down... The Room Below. The Room Below.
After being abducted by a children's author and locked in her basement, a 12-year-old boy discovers the horrifying secret to her success. No, thank you.
Yes, please.
There's not a lot of info out there about it. There's barely anything in IMDb.
How did you get a theatrical trailer?
Absolutely no idea, but it blew my mind.
Wow.
So put that on the radar.
Wow. Apparently it's a sleep token song, too.
There you go.
Okay.
No idea what that is. All right, John, please bring us the word of the day.
Just checked, and I have not used this word before. The word is arabesque.
Ooh.
That's A-R-A-B-E-S-Q-U-E, arabesque. First definition here is the one that I was looking for. A posture in which the body is supported on one leg, with the other leg extended horizontally backwards. Little ballet move there, the arabesque. It can also mean ornamental design consisting of intertwined flowing lines originally found in Arabic or Moorish decoration. Comes to us from the Italian word arabesco, meaning in the Arabic style.
They did not just add an O onto it.
I mean, they didn't add the O, we removed the O.
Arabesco, love it. John, please tell me about Abigail.
Yeah, if only I had pulled up the IMDb. This is directed and written by the team, Matt Bettinelli Open, and the other guy's name is, I think, Tyler Willett. Sorry, it's like not, okay. Tyler Gillett, not Willett. They apparently operate under the name Dead Silence?
Is that Radio Silence.
Radio Silence. I knew. I was close. These guys most recently co-directed Ready or Not, which we covered on this here program. They also did, I was reminding myself earlier today, they also directed, they directed Scream, the one that's, I think, Scream 5, but they just call it Scream. And then they directed Scream 6.
Okay.
So I guess those are more recent.
So they did the two Scream movies. So that's interesting because Barrera's in this, Melissa Barrera.
Correct.
Who now, none of these people are involved in Scream. Side note, but.
No, I guess not. They did a segment in Southbound, which we covered here. That was in 2015. They directed a movie which we watched, and I remember being one of the worst movies we reviewed, called Devil's Do. You remember Devil's Do?
Nope.
I don't.
It was a
found
footage, like ladies having a baby, and the baby is the devil. That's, you know.
Is that the one with the baptism scene?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think so.
Let's say yes. That's like one, I think that might have actually been their first feature. They were in the original VHS. VHS 1. So you sort of teed this up. This is a mashup of sort of a crime / mobster-ish type thing with vampires. The setup is that you have a group, I was going to call them a gang. That's not really what they are. They're like a squad that has been pulled together. They don't really know each other. They've been sort of like assembled. It's like a heist film type setup, where the heist here is they are kidnapping I think she's said to be 12. They think she's 12. A 12-year-old girl who we see in the beginning of the film is like at ballet practice. It's a very strange ballet practice because she's on a stage. There's no one else around.
No one else around.
she's more performing to an empty, it's not practice.
Well, when you've been around that long, John, you know ballet. You just figure it out.
She does know her way. Yeah, she knows her way. So she gets abducted. They take her to a house. There's a guy there, and I can't remember. You guys remember that actor's name? I'm going to, without looking it up right now.
Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad.
Correct. So Giancarlo is there, and he sort of gives us the exposition, which is like, they're going to get $50 million from her dad. He doesn't tell them who her dad is. One of the characters, so you mentioned Melissa Barrera, she's Joey. She's sort of like the one that we're kind of following. She's a mom, sort of down on her luck. She's also a nurse or sort of like an EMT. And so she's the one who's there to like monitor Abigail and like check her vitals and whatever. She's also the only one who's supposed to speak to her. Dan Stevens is Frank. He's sort of like the somewhat of the ringleader, even though none of them are explicitly the ringleader. And so that's the setup. They kidnap her. They take her to this house. It's like an hour of that, I think, or maybe like 45 minutes. And only at that point is it revealed to them, this thing that we knew going in, because it's like very prominent in the trailers, that she's actually a vampire. And so now they're locked in a house. They've actually been set up and they are there to be her playthings and food. They're just trying to survive.
And that, what I will say though, that point you just made is not clear in the trailers. We don't learn that detail till kind of the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie. That it's just a game, basically.
But the trailers show them being locked in the house. So it's like they were clearly tricked to going into this house where they are now locked in with a vampire.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
All right, Casey, what'd you think?
So I was pretty stoked on this when I first saw the trailer. And I'll be honest, Schnars put a little kernel of doubt in my head, because when we were talking about the trailer, them getting locked in the house, the trailer started to feel a lot like Ready or Not to me. So I was kind of worried that it might be
it's a rehash. Ready or Not vibes, yeah.
Yeah. I was super pleased that they went far beyond in a totally different direction than anything that happened in Ready or Not. There's a people locked in a house vibe that's the same, but I was really impressed with kind of the story that came up here with this. It was not at all what I expected, and things get revealed fairly early on in this movie, and I'm sitting here watching it thinking, but that seems early and this is going to get boring. A vampire girl throughout the house, what are they going to do? And by golly, they expand on that quite well, I thought. And it turns out this is a lot of fun. I've seen some talk on threads, stuff like that, of people mentioning pacing problems and stuff. I didn't have that problem. I felt like it was moving along pretty good throughout. It's not going to be my number one, but it's right now it's firmly in my list.
John?
I think I got exactly what I was expecting. Casey, my original complaint about the trailer is that it felt to me like they were like, we got to have a dancing girl movie because of Megan and the success that Megan had.
Oh, funny. Dancing. Yeah.
That was my original complaint about the trailer. I'm trying to think, do I want to foreground the positive or foreground the negative? Let's say the positive. I think I had a sense, but I didn't know that this was like meant to be as funny as it ends up being. Like it's like Ready or Not. It is very sort of tongue in cheek with a lot of the sort of violence and the chaos. That works. Like that, I enjoy that. I like Dan Stevens, Melissa Barrera. There's a lot of good character actor talent that gets to sort of ham it up a bit here. I did have a lot of issues with the pacing. I was surprised because the movie did pretty well. I think it was like number two at the box office. Like it did fine. And all the headlines were like critics rave and like audiences show up for, and I was sort of like, are critics really raving? I don't know. Like this to me felt at least 20 minutes too long and maybe even more than that. Like, I feel like we saw the whole movie in the trailer, or we saw, let's say, 80% of the movie. The parts of that we hadn't seen were things that I didn't like, which is that it had like four twist endings. There's a whole ending to this movie.
A lot of that stuff is
so fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it's like, what are we doing here? It's like, whatever. We'll get into the Joey story because like they don't trust the audience, and frankly, they don't trust Melissa Barrera maybe to like carry. Or maybe they don't trust the script. I don't know. But they felt like they needed to handhold us on her character arc to the point where I was like, this is absurd. Like, please stop.
And she's actually really good.
Yeah.
Considering the material. Totally like, she's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the vampire stuff is like pretty tired in my mind. Like, and they're not doing anything here with the vampire piece other than the vampires explode when they die rather than just like turn into ash or whatever. Like, okay, that was like kind of clever the first time, but you then get like four more exploding vampire bodies. I also think like that happened in Blade or like somebody's done that before.
Doesn't it happen in Ready or Not?
Is there like a body?
Isn't that what happens at the very end, Casey?
I think there's something similar, yeah.
Because it's like a curse, right? And that's, I think that's what happens. Like,
oh, so, yeah, you're right.
She's like, oh, what happens the if you don't fulfill a curse? And the people just start exploding around her.
The family all explodes. You're 100% right. Wow.
Because somebody made a crack about like them bringing back the best part of her.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that too. So yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I had like an okay time.
That's a pretty fair snore stick, I think.
Yeah, it was not great.
I went on a ride with this movie because I, as people who listen know, Schnars has been side-eyeing this movie for weeks. So I kind of wanted to like it. Like, you know, I don't like telling John when he's right. It's not good for him.
I know.
It goes to his head.
Sure doesn't.
It's just not great all around. But I started watching the movie and I'm like, right out of the gate, what I felt more than anything, I didn't actually, aside from the fact that the too many endings thing, the pacing was fine for me. It was more that like, there's just some strange editing. Like it feels a little hastily cut together in places. Like just cuts where I was like, what the hell just had like sequences that didn't make sense to me, right? Also, the first thing you notice out of the gate, the dialogue is like real cheesy, like right out of the gate. I think the movie, and this maybe is the trailer's fault, but even the movie itself, it takes a little while before you, to what you're saying, John, it takes a little while before you're like, oh, this is kind of like a comedy. Like you don't even, it's not really until they settle into the mansion, all the characters start bebopping and scatting. And in particular, when this dude, Kevin Durand, who I didn't even know him, somebody else brought him up to me on Slack.
Oh, I love him.
The Russian guy.
He's not the driver. He's the like big.
No,
the muscle.
That's so the driver.
Yeah,
that's,
you would recognize him.
Angus Cloud is a driver. He was on Euphoria. He's also not alive.
He's anymore. The one who passed away. Yeah,
passed away. Yeah. But this guy Kevin Durand, to me, so anyway, let me back up. This is a little bit of a messy film with some occasionally really terrible writing. But in the end is like very charming. Like, and a lot of it is this cast. I've come to really love Catherine Newton. I just think she like really commits to whatever she does, no matter how weird it is. So that's like one of the reasons I really liked her in Least Frankenstein. I don't know about if you knew this, John, but the internet is so horny for Dan Stevens.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, horror internet just dropping panties for this guy left and right.
He's like feeling it a little bit at this point.
He's hamming it up.
You know, Melissa Brewer, who like I actually think doesn't really get a chance to shine in that Scream series because like I don't know why the fuck her character is even there. It's like never really mattered. Like she's getting outshined by Jenna Ortega, both in performance and in the character, the way it's written. She's great here. Like they give her a lot of like emotional stuff to work with, and it's pretty rote, whatever, but I think she's really milking it, and she puts in a pretty compelling performance. This guy, Kevin Durand, this Russian dude, he steals the show. He's so goddamn funny. Like his little antics to me are what make the whole movie. Like his
he's
just
Canadian,
little
Canadian, FYI.
No, I know, but in the movie,
he was Canadian in the movie too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my guy needs to work on his accents then.
Because
that was 1,000% a Russian accent.
They were all ridiculous. All of them.
That was like some like he was like channeling Zangief or something from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But whatever, it works. Whatever the hell he was supposed to be. Really funny. Dan Stevens, like this dude seems like made for B movies. Honestly, like he's just got an over the top kind of personality that works really well. So. Yeah, like once you settle in with the characters, it's a lot of fun, real gory, like crazy over the top gory and violent, pretty funny, even though like it's a little hit or miss on the humor, but there's a joke density there, so it just keeps moving. And like I said, I wasn't that bothered by the pacing, except for the, like when we get to the end, I'm like, is this over yet? Can we just wrap this up?
I was so angry.
And the double crossing is a little, all right, whatever.
So when they bring in I already forgot his name, Esposito.
That's his real name.
When they bring him back, then that gets spun around, and then the spin around gets spun around, and then there's like the capper that comes on top. And you're just
we can kind of get to that, but that doesn't fully make sense to me because he was sort of supposed to be like her thrall, right? In like vampire lore. So
he was the dad's thrall.
But then wouldn't the dad had known that he was like plotting against her?
He explained it in the, when he was turning Dan.
What do you mean?
He made a deal with the Abigail when she turned him for the full Monty instead of the thrall. There's two types of vampires in this
that.
Movie.
I mean, okay, yeah, okay, I get it. I guess I missed that, but you know, and one thing I would say is I don't know what the directors have said about inspiration, but to me, it's like obvious pieces from Ready or Not, but it's like a mix with the original Night of the Demons. This felt like there's images in this movie that felt straight out of Night of the Demons. And that's another one where you're trapped in an old house, right? And so that was sort of the vibe that I got. But I think it succeeds in a similar way. It's just kind of campy, goofy, fun. Yeah. That isn't always on the mark, but like it ended up winning me over more than I thought in the first 20 minutes that it was going to.
So one of my biggest pacing issues, I sort of hit on this, but like we all know going in from the trailer, a lot of the beats through basically the first two acts, and they really do take a long time to get to the reveal of her being a vampire. Like there is just a lot of spending time with these criminals, and then like there's multiple,
they use that time sort of for like criminal you know, character development, but you're
exactly
just waiting.
Yeah. But one of those scenes is like fake character development where they're all just like coming up with fake names. Like there's a lot, that's to me where it's like that whole scene could have just gone. You don't need it. It adds nothing.
That's, you know, heist, it's movie like, 101 though.
But is the point? Like, is this really a heist movie at the end of the day? No, it's like a
that
vampire
shit where he's like naming, where he's naming everybody. That was so cheesy. And I love Breaking Bad, John. You know how I feel about Breaking Bad.
Sure.
He's incredible in it. It's actually very strange for me to see him in another role because I haven't seen him in much else. And to not have the accent he normally has is just weird. But that whole scene where he's naming everybody and then he calls everybody a pack of rats, it's like, it was real cheesy. Yeah. Those are the moments where I'm like, I don't know about this movie, man. Like, I don't know.
And I guess like in retrospect, you sort of like need that moment because otherwise he's not a character to come back and have.
You
the,
need him. Yeah, you need to give him a moment.
Yeah, but, and he probably cost him a lot.
But yeah, I'll tell you what I loved is, and it's still cheesy, but I love the scene of Melissa Barrera telling everybody about them, like what she's figured out about them. Those kind of scenes are just fun. I love any scene where one character is like, here's your deal. And it's pretty cliche, but it's fun.
So here, all right, you want my like screenwriting 101 take? You start the movie at the scene with Melissa Barrera telling everybody who they are. Like, you don't need any of the shit before then. It's like, they always say you like start as late in the story as possible. Well, like, they start so early in the story here. You're like, who gives
you're 100% right. I mean, that whole scene is taken straight out of Reservoir Dogs.
Or you could have literally, even just started with them bringing the girl into the house and then you set up the rest with flashbacks or context or something.
Yeah, we didn't really need to see them kidnap her at all. It could have started there in the mansion and just one of them saying, okay, we've got her. Now we got to...
Yeah, the kidnapping scene is like shot as if it's this like tense moment, but it's not really. Like, there's this moment of...
Kidnapper.
Yeah,
you know they're getting to this house, and so like there's an alarm going off, and they're driving fast. But it's even then, you know, you get to see the like hacker girl. What's her name? Catherine something.
Catherine Newton.
Yeah. Or Sammy in the movie.
Sammy. Yeah, I mean, like it does that. The whole point of that heist sequence is that you get to see each of them have their ability. You know, like here's why this guy's here, and like here's
their
the
superpower.
Guy who's. Yeah, here's the Marine guy who gets to like point a gun four times in this movie, but never pulls the trigger. I mean, or maybe he does when she turns into a vampire. I can't remember, but
he doesn't actually. No. That's really funny.
Walks into the room.
We see him up in like the crow's nest a couple times, just looking around. Then nothing happens with it.
Yeah,
yeah. No, you're not wrong, and I don't disagree with anything that you've said, Schnarz. I think this movie is definitely not perfect. I just had a lot of fun watching it by the end of it. I was entertained.
It's
the little cheesy touches though that win you over, like the people exploding. You're like, all right, cool. Yeah. Might as well have people explode. Let's do it.
Totally. Or Dan Stevens' magnificent Queens accent.
So you know what's so funny about Dan Stevens? So I don't know this guy from fucking anything. But you but just told me
we've seen like four dancing.
I don't know this. Casey was just like, oh, he's the kaiju vet in Kong. No idea, right? But I'm just, obviously now I'm like starting to notice him, and everyone's like getting real thirsty about this dude. And so I'm watching this movie and I did this thing I always do. I talk about this where like he's rocking the Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. And those have been kind of back for years now. And something I'm watching him and I'm like, man, should I get Jeffrey Dahmer glasses? I always do this. And then I'm like, oh, no. This guy's like disgustingly handsome. And that's why he can wear those, because he can like literally wear anything and just make it work. Also, beautiful head of hair. It's not the same I do it, John.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got a lot going on. I like Dan Stevens. This isn't like a knock on him necessarily, but yeah. We've seen him. He's probably been in 4 to 6 movies we've covered on this here program. So yeah,
what else? What else?
He was the guest.
I did not see the guest.
Oh, I mean, we definitely did.
Yeah, every time we go over this, in the old days. Every time that movie comes up.
Yeah, okay.
He's also well known for Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where a lot of people, know him from.
I think that's where a lot of the swooning comes from,
too. Oh, he's in this movie,
Cuckoo. Yeah, he plays the guy who invites them. He's like maybe the main bad guy. I don't know, based on the trailer.
I've never seen him do a comedy. I can't think of the name of the show. There was a comedy show, like a mini series he was on. He's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think he was playing himself.
I've seen nothing else in this, guys.
You've not seen Sea Beast? Have the girls not watched Sea Beast?
Nope.
It's an animated movie, but he's one of the main voices. All right. Oh, you've seen The Rental.
Anyways.
Maybe.
I mean, we watched it again, but...
Next on Dan Stevens' cast.
Yeah.
So I was texting you guys last night, and this is a nerd quibble. It doesn't really change my opinion on the movie.
I have seen The Rental. Sorry, continue.
There was at least 3 ways out of that house that I saw.
Go on, because you talked about this over email. How would you get out of the house?
There's 2 definite, because in the basement, when they have Abigail in the cage and then Dan Steven lets her out, attacks him, Melissa Barrera comes and pries the boards off of the basement window and fries her hand. There's a window. Break it out and climb through.
Wow.
Then they go upstairs and they're standing in the main room and there's a giant hexagonal window above the front door with the big beam of light coming down.
But you sure there were no grates or anything over him?
Not in the shots that they showed.
Yeah.
And it all stopped there. And then when we have the scene with Sammy and Peter, after we start getting introduced to the idea of thralls, you could see glass behind the slats in that room. That was my possible third exit.
Interesting.
There's a lot of, if you pry, you're kind of like, I don't know. I mean, for me, and like, I don't know how much more we want to get into, but like, it's about the ending. Like, I could have walked out of this and been like, yeah, fun times. The final sequence, basically the last 5 to 10 minutes of this movie, I was just so done with it. Even the final fight scene is way too long.
Yeah.
Potentially poorly edited, I don't know, but I was definitely
he almost kills her like 3 times, and he could have just killed her, and he just drops her like 3 times.
Yeah. Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, my eyes rolled, but when Lambert comes back, and then we have the whole thing with Dan Stevens, and then we have the double cross. My eyes were rolling, but I enjoyed that to get to see Dan Stevens ham it up after the fact, and I enjoyed that aspect of that. But then you're right, it went on too long. He could have ended that fight 3 different times, and he didn't. It's just carried it on to stretch it out to Phil. And they took forever for the dad to get there as well, because they dropped that hint at the beginning of that whole sequence when Lambert first shows up and he mentions that the dad is coming, and it feels like it's another hour before he gets there and we have to sit through all this crap before he shows up.
I just don't even understand why you have the dad arrive. Like, what's the point of it?
It was anticlimactic. He didn't do anything once he got there.
It was also kind of lame in a in a cast full of like recognizable character actors or just recognizable actors to have that just be no one. Like how fun would that have been to be like a fun cameo?
Like Christopher Walken or something.
Like somebody you know. Yeah, it takes all the air out of him. And you're like, you're just a fucking dude. Like, who are you?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad because that guy is like, he's not like a...
I don't know that
guy.
No
one's ever heard of it.
No, but I'm talking about like, get someone, pay someone for a day of work that everyone would know that just like wants to come and be in your horror thing.
Yeah.
Like
that. I mean,
Christopher Walken.
He's like a... He's a real actor. Like, Al Pacino. But you're right. Like, he's not a... Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, though, the real like violation, if I may, of that sequence is that the real reason I think it's in there is to highlight this Melissa Barrera character arc of like, she's a mom. She may have abandoned her son, but now she's going to fight for her son. And look, she like made a promise to Abigail, who's however many hundred years old, but looks like a child. Yeah. And so like, she's capable of... And like maybe some of that's like a little tongue in cheek, but it's like they're beating you over the head with it. And they're then you also have to have the Abigail arc. And this is the other whatever. I get it, but it's like the movie's called Abigail. She's a main character. She's the villain for most of the movie, but ultimately she needs to have like a redemptive arc. And hers is a little bit of like her dad doesn't like love her enough or like sort of like give her enough, but like she's an adult. Like, you know, like she has
you're 230 years old.
Yeah, like she looks like a 12-year-old, but like she's not a child. And like, I don't know. So it was all very confused. And to me, on the Barrera piece, it's just like, why are you hitting us over the head with this? Like, she had the arc. We got it. Like, she's going to be a better mom now. You don't need to like bring the dad in and then have her like be a better mom for a whole scene, you know, like it's just weird. Yeah.
I mean, we already kind of got that when they first got to the house and she entered, you know, and she went into the room with Abigail the first time. We saw them bond there. We didn't really need more.
Well, and part of the issue, and this is like a structural piece with like the way they hide the backstories of these characters, is that you have to go through the whole journey of her being a junkie, leaving her son. Like that stuff doesn't even get unfurled until mid second act. And then even into the third act when Dan Stevens is like, you'll never amount to anything or whatever, you know, whatever he's like yelling at her. And it's like, okay, so now we're like going through this arc with her, but it's so late. It feels like very, whatever. This is all, you get where I'm coming from.
I had more beef with the fact that they like so closely recreated that final shot of her just covered in blood, leaving the mansion. Is so Ready or Not.
Yeah, 100%.
Once you do another Trapped in a Mansion thing, I guess there's only so many ways to end.
Yeah, I mean, there is. That's the only real ending you have is somebody triumphantly walking out the front door if the whole house is locked up.
How much blood can we cover her with, though? That's the question.
It's extremely, extremely bloody and gory.
Well, when the vampires explode, it's not. This is not like a... Like, oh, well, a little pop. It's like fucking geyser goes in every direction. So
I appreciated that they played with the vampire lore in this a bit and on screen as well. They made a point to show us the crucifix had no effect on her. Garlic didn't really affect her. It was really only the sunlight. And, you know, the other thing that stood out to me from the very beginning is Abigail's a vampire and they get her to the house and Melissa Barrera goes in to check on her after she doped her up to knock her out. And she says, I can tell she's knocked out because her pulse is slow. She's a vampire. She doesn't have a pulse. Yeah.
So wait, did the knocking out confident?
Also,
work,
like, also, like, does she know that vampires can't fake that? I don't know. It's fucking vampire. Yeah. It's like magic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Nobody did ask. Well, what's about after they figured out she's a vampire? Nobody did ask. Well, what's the matter if you check her pulse?
Yeah.
The correct bit.
How does she even have one? Is a better question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's dead.
Here's my other controversial opinion, potentially. I didn't need any of the dancing stuff. Like the ballerina stuff.
Do you think that was literally just the Megan thing?
I think
I hadn't really made that connection, but...
Well, I think they had like written it. Like this, just like production timelines, like this thing had to have been in development before Megan, you know, like it would be very fast for them to like get this out, I think. I think they foregrounded it in the trailer, and that I had think it they had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, well, there is a lot of these scenes in the movie that there, it's just, she's just like, it's like trying to highlight her childishness. But again, she's not a child. She's
That's the whole point though. Cause I mean, dance classes and young girls in that, you know, probably like 6 to 12 range, that's, they're pretty into that stuff. So they're playing on trying to make her look like a child. I appreciate it. If there was too much of it, we didn't even need that opening scene. I appreciated the flourishes in the, like the fight, the attack scenes, the fight scenes, when she would do a spin and as she would kill somebody and do a spin and attack somebody else. I thought those were fun when they mixed them in there. Totally unnecessary, but it added a flourish, pizzazz.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's also, we haven't even discussed, like, it, she's also the, like, super hitman for this mob that's run by the Lord Vampire, right? Like, because a lot of it, the plot ends up hanging on this, or they talk about this, these three guys who are murdered in, like, a secret whatever, and then that's, like, the Esposito twist. He's like, oh yeah, I let her in there. I can't even remember exactly what happened, but I don't know. Yeah. She's like a super killer, but then kind of gets beat by these chumps ish. In any event.
All right. Well, would you recommend it, Casey?
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Jonathan?
I'm
going to
say no.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to declare this the year of... Forgot her name already. What's her name?
Catherine...
Yep, something. That one. Turrier.
Oh! Eric, hold on before we move on.
Yeah.
I feel like I noticed, and I was like, I got to ask Eric. This was the most orange movie I think I've seen in... the theater.
I've given up on saying anything about it, but yes.
It was so goddamn orange. I could not.
Orange and blue. There are just shots where that's all you fucking see. Like, it's insane. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just too tired to rant about it anymore, but yes. Catherine Newton is her name.
I'm always here to get the, just tweak a little on the rant.
I'm going to say yes, but to me, this is like the definition of a video pick.
That's like, fair.
Don't rush out to the theater for this thing. Watch it where you can make a snack. Smoke a little whatever, take a bathroom break, like, you'll enjoy it. It's fun. It's a good time.
That's fair. This, there's nothing about this that requires a theater view.
Especially, I think, with everything else out there, you know.
Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, it's a work of art. All right, let's take a quick break and do some fan mail.
Somewhere in the middle of nowhere, America's number one author just met his number one fan.
I think Paul Sheldon might be in some kind of trouble.
You must be a good man. You could never have created such a wondrous, loving creature as Misery Chastain.
Very kind.
She loves everything he's ever written.
Oh, Paul, what a poet you are.
Until now.
How could you?
Any.
You murdered my Misery!
Ah!
No!
Directed by Rob Reiner.
Whatever you're thinking about doing, please don't.
From the novel by Stephen King.
Trust me, it's for the best. God, I love you.
Misery. Starts Friday, November 30th at select theaters.
Hi, I'm Tom Savini, and you're listening to Bloody Good Horror.
info@bloodygoodhorror.com or on Twitter using #AskPGH. Join Patreon to get back episodes and much more. Patreon.com/bloodygoodhorror.
Don't fall.
John, I assume you've taken a little break from listening to Hi-Fi to check out the new T-Swift.
We listened to it on our drive from the city to Ulster County.
What's the review?
I didn't care for it. I was not taken. Look, we listened to a fair bit of Taylor Swift. I have an 8-year-old daughter.
Same.
My wife, is like their fans. It's fine. Like it, a lot of it sounds very like. Part of it was like we would be like talking, and then we're like, "Wait, is this a new song?" And it's like,
"No, it's samey."
Yeah. It's like
it feels like B-sides, is what it feels like.
Yeah, it's long though, isn't it? I mean,
it's like 2 hours long. Yeah, it's like two full giant albums. It's nuts.
Yeah,
it's too much, John. Take a break. You've earned it. Go away. Let people miss you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it. All right. info@bloodygoodhorror.com. No emails this week. Patreon.com. John is where you could find a live stream of the show. You could, we were chatting with our YouTube friends pre-show here, talking about conventions, fielding questions. It was good times. And YouTube.
You can get ads-free versions of the podcast.
That's right. Oh, we should talk about it. So I'm still trying to figure out, we use Anchor to put the show out, and you go in and you set a marker of where they put the ads, and Anchor is a liar and did not put the ads where I specifically put the marker. So
yeah,
apologies. It was messy last week and I'm frustrated about it. And I need a more data so I can see exactly if it's fucked up in the same way every time, then I can at least compensate, but I don't know yet. So I'm gonna
wouldn't that be incredible if it's just like wherever you drop the marker, it's like 2 seconds later.
It was two or three seconds before. So I cut it in the middle of my intro. For all I know, I just did it again. Like my toss to, anyway, so I apologize for the sloppiness. It was obviously not our intention, but just appreciate people's patience while we work it out.
But if you're a patron, you won't even notice the sloppiness.
What an ad for patreon.com/bloodygoodhorror. Love it.
There you go.
All right, Casey, what do we got on the threads?
All right, we got a couple threads out here this week. First up, the drummer from Foghat. Last week, Eric said Coxsackie out loud. It was very funny, and it's a very funny name for a city.
It's anyone a real place. Also, not a city, sir. Not a city.
Anyone have a favorite silly name for a town or city?
I think you could generously call Coxsackie like a hamlet.
There, I mean, there's a whole like string of crazy ass town names in Pennsylvania. The best, at least when I was in high school, was Intercourse. There's an Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
There's also a Chartlesville, Pennsylvania, that I've brought up many times on the show.
Chartlesville. Yep. So
we have a Gnawbone, Indiana.
Gnawbone.
Yeah, Gnawbone and French Lick.
Well, French Lick, yeah, I mean, famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we have Right Now. We talked about this a bit. I think there are serious exposition and pacing issues in Abigail towards the end. Agree or disagree?
The end is where it gets wobbly. Yeah. We should say, before we go on further, I do want to put this on my list. Here's my beef with Monolith is like, I remember literally nothing about it.
I love that it's
I know what it's about, but can you really think about that movie and go, oh yeah, that part?
Yes.
What part?
There was like a black.
The whole thing was Call of Cthulhu. I'm still pretty geeked about it.
That's true. Yeah. I do remember Casey being geeked about that.
Well, I'm not smart enough for that stuff. I think I'm going to put this above Monolith.
Okay.
So that places it at number 5, just below Abigail.
No, this is Abigail.
No, just below Immaculate at number 4. and that, if you're keeping track at home, would place Night Swim at number 7. Almost there, John.
We're not in
the summer yet. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
Hanging on.
It's moving off your list at about the same pace of the movie.
All right. I get tons of ads for it now because I think it's on Netflix or one of the streaming services I use.
Yeah. We got two more here. Next up, our good buddy Popcorn.design. Is Dan Stevens a handsome man or the handsomest man?
He is handsome, and he's just, you know what it is? He's got that bad boy thing.
Yeah.
It's just true.
I mean, I don't know if I would have said that, but he's, yeah, he does. He seems like a good hang.
Well, that's the thing too, though. If you like, if you were one of the folks that got introduced to him in like Downton Abbey, he's pretty suave and, you know, and that high lifestyle, he can fit in that. The dude's kind of a chameleon. He could, I think,
was he on Downton Abbey? So is he British?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I think part of the draw is Dan Stevens can mold into any vision of the perfect man that you please.
What was the character in Downton Abbey? Is he like...
He was Lady Mary's husband the first season.
I mean, no, but like what... I didn't watch it. Like, explain the character. Like, was he like... Is he Lady good? Mary, is he bad? Is he...
Oh, he was good. He was... Lady Mary was the daughter of the lord that was over Downton Abbey, and he was... I don't remember all the details, but he was her beau, and he was more, not a rich family, but an affluent family. And he was, you know, they're very high society in that era of England and whatnot. And then they eventually, they killed him off after the first season. Cause I think that's when he decided, well, that's enough for me. I'm going to go do other stuff. And he showed up in The Guest not too long after.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last up, we have Metal Prof. I have never enjoyed vampire stories. What's wrong with me?
I'm kind of with you. I'm not. It takes a lot to suck me into it. Like it's got to. Like it's got to be. It's got to be something clever or different about it. I don't. Not all the. The only real. I mean, I was gonna say like I'm obsessed with Bram Stoker's Dracula, but I wouldn't even necessarily. That's such a stylistic take on it. I wouldn't even necessarily call that traditional, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a very distinctly has its own style.
It definitely suffers from being, that's like the most overdone genre, I think, probably right above zombies, right?
That's part of it. And it's easy to do it lazily and just be like, yeah, I don't know, that guy's a vampire. Like, you literally have to give him teeth if you don't want to. Just pretend.
Exactly.
I tend to agree. The one I always think about that I'm like, oh, they can make vampire. Well, A, I love the Blade movies. Those are sweet. That's like a whole different thing, obviously. Do you guys remember Daybreakers? Pretty early BGH.
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah, it was Ethan Hawke.
Correct. Yeah. It's like everyone's a vampire. Like the world, I think everyone's a vampire. And like they've like created like a system where they're like milking humans for blood. Yeah, it was a good time. I gotta go watch that again. That's one I should check out to make sure it still holds up.
These days, I like it when they play with, when they try to do their best to avoid the classic Dracula formula and try and play with when they do funky stuff with the vampire tropes, that's when they get my attention. If it's just vampire tropes,
I'll tell you the scariest vampires of all time. It's the lady vampires in Monster Squad.
Yeah.
No contest. No scarier vampires ever.
Yeah. All right. No argument for me.
Go watch it, Sean. For me,
no, I mean, I've seen the movie. I'm like, yeah, I vaguely remember them. So, sure.
All right, that's it for threads, Eric. Anything on Instagram?
Yep. Stand by. All right. Do you plan to cover Late Night with the Devil soon? Next week.
You betcha.
Hey, people are theorizing that it's what Joe Bob is going to play on Friday.
Oh, I thought that was like an announcement he made. You're just saying
he teases it.
And some people are saying.
Try to figure out what it is. Were you excited to see the return of Radio Silence's favorite trope, exploding bodies?
I mean, it is entertaining.
Yeah. Medium excited. If they do it in the next movie, I'm kind of going to be like, all right, guys.
Yeah, I think they've had their fill of it now.
Yeah.
Next up from Levi, is this Kevin Durant's best performance?
Couldn't I love Kevin Durant.
But it's fun. Yeah. He's like really hamming it up, which is I think part of what makes it.
He's been in a ton of stuff and it's always character actors in the background, but he was in X-Men Origins, the Wolverine movie. I think he was in Deadpool.
Does he play Sabretooth or what's his name?
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer, John, for the new Deadpool movie?
I have seen one of them.
They just released a full-length trailer. It was pretty nice.
It looks awesome. Yeah.
I've never seen one of those. Pretty long one.
Oh, those are fun.
The first one's really good. I thought the second one I kind of was in and out on. I was watching it on an airplane, but it's Ryan Reynolds doing R-rated just action comedy. Come on. So.
And it's nothing but rapid fire jokes. So.
Yeah.
Last question. I would like an Abigail franchise. Would you? Here's the problem with franchising Abigail. Vampires don't age, but this girl probably already looks 5 years older than she was when she was in this. She's just at that age where you just look different every day. You know what I mean?
That was my thought. When they brought the dad back, I was like, holy shit, they're doing all this to basically tee up a sequel. And I guess you could, to your point, Eric, they would have to almost be in production on that. This week. Yeah.
Well, they probably would have had it done a back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't know. There's things you can do. They got computers now where they can...
What's her face there in the Orphan series?
Yeah.
Played the Orphan again 10 years later or whatever it was.
Yeah. So, I don't think that... I think the short answer is I'm not dying for an Abigail 2. I could almost see a second one being better if it has the same vibe, but they kind of clean up the structural stuff I didn't like.
But it almost had to be a different vampire family, or we find out dad has a stepson or something too.
there's angles. It's you've got crime syndicate plus vampires and then hapless criminality happening. I don't know. You can do stuff there.
Honestly, from the stories they were talking about when they started talking about her dad, it was Lazarus, right? Or Lazarus.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Lazaro. What they were talking about him and his henchman Valdez and the legends of them and how gruesome they were, I could see a prequel showing some of that stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, and this, contrary to what Eric has said, the actor who plays the dad is at least famous enough. They could go down that road.
You know what I'm saying, John.
I do know what you're saying. I'm giving you a hard time.
Move would have been to bring in somebody more famous than anyone else who was already in the movie. So that oh shit. What if it was Nick fucking Cage? I know he already did that terrible vampire
movie. He's from Downton Abbey too.
Oh, Nick funny.
No.
Matthew Foote, is that his name? What's his name? Yeah.
And he was in that. I don't remember if we covered it, but Stoker.
We covered it on Sophisticated Cinema.
Yeah, he was in that one too.
Yeah, that's a sweet movie.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely a bona fide actor, but I agree with Eric. If they needed a wow factor for a pop there at the end.
Sure. Well, but my point is more, you could hang a second movie off of him, or he's around.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if you had done the Al Pacino, if it had been Al Pacino, that actually would have been amazing. But Al Pacino's not—he's not going to do another one.
So, oh God, I love it. Yeah, that would have been amazing, man. 10 out of 10. That would have been my number one movie.
If he walks in, just
Al Pacino's 85-year-old Al Pacino. Jesus Christ, I love it.
With his baby Bjorn on.
That's right. Next week, Late Night with the Devil. We're doing it. Get excited.
Yeah, boy.
And hope we'll see you around Slack in the meantime. So that'll do it, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you.
Bye-bye.